Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My voice is better. Still not back to regular, but it's better. And I know you're all worried about that. Still just a tiny bit sexy, I think. Ladies, what do you think? Huh? Maybe just a tiny bit, maybe just a little bit of an improvement. Let's see what Joan Pride thinks about that. Joan's back with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, what do you think?
Well, absolutely, but remind the listeners that you're paying me big bucks.
Yeah, you know which side of the bread your butter's on, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Joan, welcome back. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
We are officially in a jobless recovery.
Yeah.
This is the second jobless recovery you and I have reported on together.
I know.
The first one was in 02 and 03.
Yeah, it's getting to be a bit much.
And that jobless recovery, we thought was pretty deep and pretty wide. And we lamented it. We talked about it, reported on it. This one, though, I heard someone the other day call it the mother of all jobless recoveries.
Ooh.
And you guys talk about this year, don't you?
We sure do.
But as you say, there's no clear picture of what's going on in jobs. Now, this week we got some pretty good news on the service sector, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Well, I know that we got we've got this idea that unemployment is going down generally, but jobs are still being lost.
Mm-hmm. But the service sectors, I think we got some good news this week on that. I don't remember exactly what the news was, the numbers. I don't know the numbers, but there was a positive report on the service sector. Mm-hmm. Which, Joan, we've become more of a service economy, so isn't that good news?
Oh, yeah, no question.
But it's hard to get a handle on things, Joan, because you guys talk about the loss of 20,000 more jobs recently. That was lower unemployment with only a loss of 20,000 jobs this recently was the start.
Yeah.
What's the rest of the news on that?
Well, as we say, 20,000 jobs were lost. The payroll figures, that's another part of it, I guess.
Yeah.
From a survey of 400,000 firms, but we say they often overstate gains or losses, so you've got big revisions. So we're kind of setting the stage here saying that's why it's such a confusing picture, because it's hard to get solid numbers and know exactly where the direction is.
And the weather didn't help on the employment side either, did it?
Oh, gosh, no, not at all.
Well, you guys reported on that this week, too, didn't you?
Right. Muddying the waters, we say, February storms, and they were in various parts of the country. They certainly hit me, but they also hit others as well. So this wasn't necessarily a localized thing. This was spread pretty wide, I would say.
Joan, one Friday, I've forgotten which Friday it was, seems to me like maybe it was the seems like maybe it was like the 19th. I think it was February the 19th. Don't hold me to that. 49 of the 50 states had snow on that Friday.
It might have been the 12th. I don't know. Because
all right.
The only reason I say that is because we were pretty much past all the problems after the 16th.
Okay. All right. So I'll defer to you. All right.
The bad week was the week of February 8th, the Kiplinger building was closed for 2 days.
Right.
The Kiplinger building never closes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty.
So the weather. So the weather had an impact on the job numbers. They're still trying to sort that out. So folks, this is all part of the murkiness of this. And of course, there's no question that it hurt employment, because if customers can't come in, you don't need to hire people. It puts some people off. It probably caused some small business owners, if their business they lost some business during that time, that caused them to have to put off hiring somebody if they had it on their mind.
Right.
So that's all part of it. And one of the things that's propping hiring up a little bit, though, Joan, is that government jobs are being created.
Well, that's true.
And
yes.
Including the census folks. You guys reported on that this week.
Right. And that's interesting because, of course, we're talking about the 2010 census. And that's always kind of a little temporary surge in the job numbers.
Yeah. Wasn't that a smart thing for our founders to establish way back when they did? Have you ever thought about that, Joni? You ever thought about all the smart things that they thought to set in place?
I sit around and think about that all the time.
Well, I know you do, but
no, seriously though, no, you're right. I do think, you know, when you look back, and it's just amazing how they were able to come up with all these different ideas that have really stood the test of time.
Yeah, and have become models for the world.
Right.
But they came up with this idea of a census. I mean, folks, way back, I'm talking the country was barely founded when they did this, and what a smart thing to do. I mean, I'm not sure I know what they were going to do with those numbers. You know, when they got the report, what did they do with it? You know, and they weren't even. We were a confederation of states in those days. We had no real organized central government by that time. So what was the government going to do with it? But like they do now, and you know, there were no districts of representatives or whatever like there are now as much, and so. The idea that they did that, and I know I'm getting off the subject a little bit here, but I just think anytime we can tip our hand to the genius of those guys, those founders, I think we should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what about the one of the things you guys talk about is with a longer horizon, you say that the jobs picture is a little bit clearer. Talk to us about that.
Well, we say if you look farther out that we see 100,000 jobs a month being added by late spring. Now, that means... I guess, are we saying June, maybe?
Yeah.
Or maybe late May, early June.
Yeah, late May, probably.
Yeah, and we even say that that's net jobs, but that's pretty good.
Wow. So
yeah.
We're talking an increase, not...
Yeah, that's after the churn.
That would be the tipping point, right, from losing them to gaining them.
Boy, I'll say, yeah.
Boy, if I'm from your mouth to God's ears,
right.
Joan, I mean, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope you're right about that. You gotta start wondering, Joan. I've been thinking a lot about the concept of pent-up demand, the phenomenon of pent-up demand.
Yeah.
You got to look, we've had way underemployment for a long time now, for a year and a half probably.
Right.
We've had underemployment. And one of the examples of that is the increased productivity. Those are measurable numbers, increased productivity.
Yes.
At some point in time, underemployment with increased productivity turns into a casualty list, Joan.
Yeah,
you see my point?
Oh, sure.
You start wearing the horses out that you're riding. You got to rest them a little bit. And so companies are going to have to start hiring. And I wonder if that's a little pent-up demand that could start happening this year. I hope that's what you guys are. Hope you're right about that. Quick break. Right back after these messages with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
When you're walking down the street. And you ain't had
it. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. We built it so you could do that. Help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. You can read, listen, ask questions. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business, arranged in handy-dandy categories and features and different ways of using the information. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We got something for you there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that by going to @JimBlassingame, twitter.com/JimBlassingame. And don't forget, my blog is off my homepage there, too. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And we're talking about the jobs picture. Joan, as we move down through here, you talk about job gains will be enough to sustain GDP of about 3%. And, you know, your numbers are tracking pretty darn close with with some of the economists that I'm talking to, even though I still think that you guys are being optimistic. I'm a little bit less optimistic about the GDP, but I hope you're right. You're saying around 3% this year.
Well, yeah, and I'll take 3%. That's not bad.
Well, and here's the thing about it, Joan. We're not going to do 3%. We're talking averaging for the year. That's what you and the other economists I'm talking to are saying. But we're not going to average 3% in the first half of the year. So that means the second half should
it's
be
gonna
really,
have to be
really
real good.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope that's right. I mean, I pray that that's right.
Yeah.
Because one of the things, the jobs picture drives the economy.
Right.
Right.
Oh yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I mean,
right.
When you give people a job, they start spending money, and people start getting hopeful, and mm-hmm. and there's so much about the economy, Joan, that's emotional, isn't it?
Oh, it's psychological, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And so you're saying that you think, even in there's a recession, that we're going to be finding some jobs. Let's see, what is it here, 8 million other workers got pink slips. That was last year, though. That was last year.
Right.
So that's a big swing from where we were a year ago. What are some other things you guys are talking about? One of the things that you and I both know is that you have to look at how the jobs are going to come back.
Right.
They're going to be part-timers. We're seeing that right now, aren't we?
Oh, no question. You've got the unemployed, but you've also got the underemployed.
Yep. People who are working less time mm-hmm. than they'd like. And, you know, it's going to take a long time, Joan. I think we're going to have to quit watching. What we're going to have to do in order to get excited about the economy again, Joan, I think we're going to have to quit watching the unemployment number. Because I think if we watch the unemployment number, that's going to continue to motivate us, because that number is not going to come down quickly or significantly over the next year or so.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to go from 10% unemployment down to 5% in the next year or two.
Right.
That's going to take a while. And I'll tell you something else, Joan. There are a lot of people out there who are unemployed who are not being measured right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think those people might start being remeasured once they start jobs start flowing. So my point is, the number could be hiring a lot of people without that number moving a lot.
It's not coming through in the numbers, right?
Number that they're reporting still might not move downward enough, because I think there's some, it's like a hidden, this whole hidden group of people out there that we don't even count,
right,
that are unemployed. So I think we've got to quit. What do you think about that? Just not pay attention to the total number that they report.
Yeah, right. I think that's kind of what you have to do at this point.
Yeah. The housing prices are hurting the jobs right now too.
Right, right. And we say, this is interesting, we say that stifles the usual migration of workers laid off in one region from seeking job opportunities in another part of the country. So if the jobs are somewhere else, you know, you'd have people going to them, and then that eases the opposite problems in both jurisdictions. But you're
right.
Not seeing that right now.
Construction is a big part of our economy, isn't it?
Oh, no question.
Construction is huge, and, right. and that's off. That's way off right now.
Right.
And I think the housing, notwithstanding places like Las Vegas and Florida, the entire state of Florida, basically. Mm-hmm. I think the main part of America, I think the housing recovery will pick back up, and hopefully the mortgage industry will be able to be there for those guys when that happens.
Right.
Another thing that you guys point out, though, is that you're concerned about small businesses being able to be part of this hiring trend.
Right. We say that they remain gloomy about orders and hiring. And we also say that this is important because they account for about half of total employment, and they, as we always say, they generate most of the new jobs. We need them to feel that the economy is improving before we can really get out of this.
There are a couple of things here. One is, as I've said before, the startups are really under pressure right now because they don't have access to capital.
Right.
And so that's not helping with the job situation, but I'm convinced that when the big companies need workers, they're going to start contracting for those workers,
yep,
with smaller companies. And I think that's what's going to start the small businesses hiring again. It'll be the big businesses' demand. Small businesses will start filling that demand with contracts. And so, folks, start paying attention to that. Look for those contracts with these bigger companies. And you can do it. You can take care of them. And they're ready to do business with you, too. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.